Good morning and welcome to Out From the Cube. I am your host, George Evian, and it has actually been a while. I think at one point, actually, this summer, June and July, 60 days, probably 61 days, I think I put something together called 60 and 60. I was going to do a variety of things every single day for 60 days, and I think I got some good juice and some good momentum doing that. But one of my things I was going to do for 60 days was to release a podcast every day for 60 days. And I don't know how many it started going down. I don't know what number I got to before it stopped. But I'd had some things happen over the summer that just kind of threw me for a loop and didn't get to that. And what that has to do with where I'm going right now is, man, I don't think I have posted a video. I haven't posted a podcast, a conversation for a month now. And this is the longest month. And I have heard from a number of people. And I had lunch yesterday. I was with my girlfriend yesterday. And this morning was hearing from people saying, man, when are you going to release a podcast? Please release a podcast. Things like that. So I need to get back on this. It needs to be. Here's the thing that I've learned. I've learned a number of things through this podcast. A number of things. Man, I should have a podcast about the things I've learned over the past year or so just by running this podcast. But one of the things I've learned is you're always gonna accomplish and achieve what are priorities. Whatever you prioritize as the most important things, you will make time for. There is time and there is opportunity for you to achieve whatever you want. As I kind of look, I'm in my dining room of my house recording this very early in the morning on a Thursday. But as I survey my house, this house has gotten away from me. I've got books and now college basketball magazines are coming out for college basketball that starts up in a month. And I've got all these magazines and I'm on kind of a bender about enhancing my knowledge of SAFE, which is a scaled agile framework that I'm into professionally. And I've got books and magazines and I'm a foodie, a St. Louis foodie. So I've got these food magazines everywhere. I've got laundry that is backed up and thrown all over the place, even though it's clean. It is on my dirty floor waiting to be put away. So I've got all this. And what that means is this is just not a priority for me. If it were the priority, the magazines and the books and the articles and the clothing and the shoes and the basketballs and the paintings and posters and the chairs and the floors and the paint that needs to be used to paint these walls would all be done. But unfortunately, it's not at the top of my list. It should be. It should be at the top of my list and not at the top, but it should be closer to the top than where it resides now. But you will always schedule your priorities and they will always get done. So whatever my priority is for today, and I say that because other things have become more of a priority than the podcast, although the podcast, to be perfectly honest with you, is what I actually enjoy the most professionally. I need to get back into a rhythm with guests, with a release and all that. And I just put them out whenever I can. And right as I pressed record, I got this great juice and energy and vibe and got really excited about the conversation and kind of putting out there the things I've learned. I've learned a lot over the past month. And I apologize for not getting that out to you so you could learn and have a strategy or be able to implement or consider some of the things that I'm considering. So it's great. Again, I think the hardest thing for me is pressing record. My girlfriend, who is out of town, sent me a message early this morning. She's in Orlando for this, and it's actually come across my LinkedIn feed, and my timeline on LinkedIn is some sort of Grace Hopper conference that is going on in Orlando, which apparently there's 25,000 people at this conference. And my understanding of this conference is, I don't know much about it. It is Women in the Workforce. I believe it is actually Women in Technology and a conference built kind of around that theme. And my understanding is they had 8 people checking in, 25,000 people, which led to three hours or longer waits just to get a badge and a name tag and a bag full of giveaways. So that's my understanding. Could be wrong with that, but if you're trying to check in 25,000 people, probably having more than 8 people would be a good way to start that. But I've learned a lot. There's some things I do want to cover this morning. There's so much I want to cover, and I know that we can't cram it all in. So what I'm going to have to do is make this a priority, getting back into the podcast. I'm 4 or 5 pages ahead in my planner in terms of the notes that I take on a daily basis. So even though it's Thursday, my notes are actually taken up all the way into Sunday and the weekend on things I'm consuming and all that. Most of, I'm continuing to consume Gary Vee and Ed Milet and Tom Bilyeu and people of that nature. I still get a lot of juice out of that every day. But I've added somebody to the mix, and it's somebody that we've all heard about for the most part, I believe. Most of you have heard about him. It is John Maxwell. So I have these books here. I have talked about John C. Maxwell a number of times. But here's the thing. One of the things I tried to do this year, and I did not do a great job in that I didn't write it down every day. I didn't think about it every day. I didn't act upon it every day. It was just kind of lip service that I had in January or February. But it really was to act upon the things I'm compelled to do, or the things I think about and that I feel compelled to do. All of us are compelled to do these great. I'm telling you what, my alarm went off at 4:30 this morning. It was actually up at 4:15, and I was laying there, and I was without question compelled to go work out or run or do yoga or do something physical to get my body moving again. I was compelled to do that. I was called to do that, and that did not happen. The Folgers Dark Roast was calling my name, and I was ready to put that in and just sit and actually start consuming some content that I'm getting into here in a second. So that's what I just did. But I was definitely compelled to go work out, to exercise, to do different things. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. But one of my things is, man, when I'm compelled to do something, to reach out to somebody, to give acknowledgement to somebody, to do something for my children or my girl, like whatever it is, right? I need to act on that. Like, I'll tell you what. This is going to sound really arrogant. I think I've got a really good heart. I have really good intentions. I have a really good mindset. That's all internal. It's really, most of what I do is really internal. The things I think about, the things I want to acknowledge in other people, how I feel about other people, how I want to get closer to people. In my mind and in my heart, I think I'm really good at that stuff. I am not great on the outside of expressing it or taking action upon it or actually taking the things I'm compelled to do and putting them in place and creating momentum forward. Like, I know that kind of sounds arrogant, but I think all of us are probably like that. Like, we all have these great hearts and great intent and great dialogues in our mind about people or events or circumstances or whatever it is, but we never act on what we're compelled or what we're thinking about. That's me. I'm not saying never. I just wish I was better at that. So I'm compelled to do these things and want to act more on what I'm compelled to do. But I was compelled to do this to this point. I was compelled this week to do some research on John Maxwell. John Maxwell, for those that don't know, and I didn't know this, I knew this but didn't know the exact numbers, and I'm sure the numbers have changed, but he has sold somewhere in the neighborhood of 26 million books. Right. So he has sold an incredible amount of books. I don't have it in front of me. It's 30, 40, 50 books that he's put out. I have two of them right in front of me. How successful people grow and how successful people win. I have a list here from yesterday of 8 books that I'm going to be getting into called. Some of them are like the 15 invaluable laws of growth, and everyone communicates, but few connect. Becoming a Person of Influence and Leadership Gold and Put Your Dreams to the Test and How to Be a Real Success. And Sometimes You Win and Sometimes You Learn. And Intentional Living. So those are some of the books that I've written down in my planner here, or books that I have actually right in front of me at this moment. But I was compelled to do some research on Maxwell. And what I found is there is actually a leadership team that he puts together. You can actually be trained to be a certified John Maxwell coach, which piqued my interest. That is stuff that I consume as a hobby. That's stuff that I get up early and read. It's stuff I'm super passionate about. It's stuff that I'm able to take in and consume and create a narrative based on my experiences and my professional career, and then convey that out to the people that I might be leading or teams that I might be engaged with or conferences that I might be speaking at. So it was like stuff I'm doing anyway. But then as I researched it more, you can actually be certified in doing all this. So I was compelled to actually become to pay a certain amount of money and to go become a John Maxwell certified coach, which I have done. I'm not certified yet. I am. So I think what they do, not that this means much, but you're a John Maxwell coach. And then over the next 6, 9, 10, 12 months, I will be a certified John Maxwell coach, which opens up doors in his portal, what he calls his university. And so far, technically, the information, how to consume the information, everything, it's kind of, I guess, a commercial for John Maxwell and his team, but it's been great. And apparently there is not a shortage of content in terms of Maxwell. So I'm super excited about that. That is something I'm compelled to do. So that is why I'm 4 or 5 days ahead in my content in terms of taking notes and considering things. But because of that, I'm up earlier. I'm consuming more. I'm drinking more coffee. I'm taking more notes. And I'm trying to create these narratives on the things that I'm consuming and considering with me personally, or with the teams, or with the company I work for, Polaris Solutions, and how we can have more of an impact locally and in the Midwest. So a lot going on here for me personally, but the thing that there's so much to cover, and I'm already 11 minutes in, and I know this will be a longer podcast. I do have a hard stop here shortly, but this is what I wanted to talk about. There was a conference last week here in St. Louis, where I live. And in St. Louis, it's an agile conference. So I am in the software world. I work with software teams on team alignment and agile mindsets and processes and all this sort of stuff. And I'm super passionate about it. I think we do a good job with it. We've got an amazing team where I work that can either be embedded or give consulting or give workshops, whatever it might be, to help software teams get aligned. And I definitely love the agile and safe part of that, but I without question enjoy the team dynamics and the team alignment piece of that. And but there was an agile conference this past week at a conference center or convention hall here in St. Louis. So the first day, it is set up for open spaces. Where I'm getting to is I ended up speaking at this conference. But to paint that kind of storyline, anybody could have spoke. There were maybe 700-800 people at the conference, but the first day of the conference is called open space, and they have maybe 200-250 people that attend that. So, a smaller sample size than the entire conference. So they had these, the open spaces are essentially this. Anybody can take the mic and say, hey, I'm going to be speaking on this subject at this time in this room. I would love it if you would join me. So I did that. It's one of these things. I struggle to press record on the podcast. I just do. But once I press record, I love it. I absolutely love it. I love having this conversation. I love it that people are listening to it. I love the feedback. I love connecting. I love the study. I love it that I'm 4 or 5 days ahead in my notes because I'm consuming things and considering things. I love it that I had a lunch yesterday and took away some amazing things that I'm sitting there going, man, that's a great podcast. That would be a great podcast. That sentence, that subject, that phrase, that word would be an amazing podcast, and how I spin it in my head to make it valuable to me and to you. So anyway, I gave this talk. I didn't have any idea. So let me get to this point. It's hard for me to press record. It's even harder for me to be in an open space and go up and stand up in front of 250 people, circulate all the way to the microphone, take it from somebody and speak. Like that, that makes me nervous. It makes me nervous. So I sat there and said, I'm not going to do it. I have done it before. I've done it in years past. I think I've done it 2 or 3 times. This particular day, I was like, man, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't have anything to say. The crowd's getting too big. I've got to go grab the mic. I'll be shaking. My voice will shiver a little bit and quake and all this sort of stuff. And so, man, I start thinking about all this shit that's going to go wrong, which if you've listened to the podcast, that's not how I would choose to roll, but that is how my mind works and probably how some of your minds work. But my buddy next to me, this is exactly the strategy. A buddy of mine next to me, a very good friend of mine that I work with, that I look up to quite a bit. said, you need to speak. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I have anything. He got up, he grabbed the mic, and he's spoke professionally and for years with our current company, Polaris, and he's done workshops, and he did a lot of public speaking and traveling when he was with Microsoft. And he got up, grabbed the mic, and said, this is what I'm speaking about, man, and he had it down. And I said, I did it. But then there was a break for the morning. The morning had their sessions, their open spaces for all these 20, 30 people that got up and filled these time slots the morning from 9 to 12. Those people went and did their open spaces and talked. This is what I did. When everybody was speaking, instead of me going up and grabbing the mic, I just went while everybody was speaking and got the yellow post-it note and Sharpie and wrote my title down and slapped it into a time space because for the afternoon. So I didn't actually have to get up and grab the mic and tell everybody what I was doing. I just went up and said, did that. So I went up to my buddy and I was like, hey, this is what I did. I've got a space at 2 o'clock in this room and I'm going to speak on this. He's like, man, that's awesome. Good for you. Perfect. Then lunch came around. And everybody's sitting there, and I'm sitting next to my buddy, and everybody, now we're filling up the time slots for the afternoon. And there's two or three cards that trickled over from the morning to the afternoon, mine now being one of them. And my buddy elbows me, you've got to get up there and tell everybody what your talk is. I'm like, well, it's already up there. I don't have to. I already put it up there. People will just see it on the agenda or on the schedule, and they'll just either show up or they won't. He's like, no, you get up there, grab the mic. Tell everybody what you're speaking about. Introduce yourself so everybody knows the subject matter and who is speaking. Do it. So I did. So I got up, grabbed the mic, said, hey, I put this down earlier this morning. This is the, this is who I am. This is where I work. This is my title. This is what I do for a living. And here is what I'm going to be speaking about at 2 o'clock. So that's kind of what happened. And I don't, you know, I could have got away with it. Maybe I would have had 10 people show up. But so I ended up speaking. So the point of all this for today's podcast is I want to just share what I spoke about. And because when it was done and when I went through all this BS of being nervous and whatever you want to call it, I know this big phrase now is this imposter syndrome that I keep hearing about and have to keep thinking about and all this sort of stuff. But it's really in my mind just limiting beliefs on why I suck and why you might suck. And it's all this narrative that we put into our minds every single day. We wake up about why we can't do things, why we're not capable, why we're not smart enough, all this sort of shit that we plant into our mind and we tell this story over and over and over again to ourselves. And man, I'm 46 and I'm telling you, that narrative hasn't changed since I've been 16, you know, or 12. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed since I've been 26. So now I've got 20 to 25, 30 years of the same story that I tell in my head about where I'm at, what I'm doing, what I'm capable of, what I can achieve, how much money I can make, the impact I can have, the relationships that I'm afforded and can have, whatever it might be, right? Man, shit, I've told myself the same bad story for 20, 30 years, right? And so all this, but I broke through that last week to the point of, one, just having a friend saying, hey, get your ass up there and speak. All right. And so when it was done, I was sitting there going, man, that might be the most fun I've had speaking. That might be actually one of the most fun things I've done in the past 4 months, 3 months. The quarter just changed. Today is August 3rd. It's October 3rd, which means this to me. I'm 3 days into the last quarter of the year. If you've listened to the podcast, you know I break things down into quarters. We are now in quarter four. It is a brand new beginning. But when I look at my planner here in front of me for quarter three and the notes I took and what I accomplished, I'm going to tell you right now, the start of this thing is a kick-ass story. I have it right here in front of me. You can hear me closing it, right? The start of my Q3 was kick-ass. The things I was doing, the things I was thinking about, the things I was engaged in, the things I was going to accomplish, the goals I set, the strategies I had, the action items I had every single day. Man, it might be the best it's been. But man, when you get around July 31st and August 1st and you start rolling into September, these pages get pretty empty. 9/26, September 26th, September 25th, September 24th, all empty. No goals, no action items, no check boxes, no nothing. But now it's the start. Now I'm 3 days in. Now I'm rejuvenated, juiced up, ready to go again. And I'm not waiting for the start of the new year. And that's why I choose to chunk my year up that way, is because I can reset, recalibrate, re-engage on October 1st instead of January 1st. Luckily, I have people around me that support me and motivate me and inspire me to get going with some of this stuff. So, but to that point, that talk that I gave was probably one of the more fun things, without question, as I flipped through that planner of the third quarter that I've done. So what a great deal. And I want to share what I spoke on. It's not going to be, I spoke for an hour. Here's the thing that sucks about it. Those open spaces, I believe, are supposed to be very collaborative and engaging, and you're supposed to facilitate a conversation on different themes and ideas and topics. Okay, I spoke for 45 to 50 minutes and did not take a breath, except at the beginning when we started talking about culture and I asked for people's perspective on that. Other than that, I spoke. And at the end of it, I closed by saying, hey, I appreciate being able to facilitate this conversation, which was really just me speaking for 45 minutes. But I enjoyed it, right? Everybody enjoys hearing their own voice, some more than others. And I'm probably on a 3 or 4 on that scale, but I did enjoy it. So here's going to be the title of this podcast. This is what I am going to speak on. It is not going to be to the depths of what it was last week. If I get brought in to speak to your team, if you're listening to this and you want me to come in and speak to your team, your organization, your IT department, your coaching, your basketball team, whatever it is, right? It's going to be something along these lines, because I believe in this and I believe it can level set you, and I believe it can get you considering improvement, enhancement, and change. I believe that it can get you to think about improvement, enhancement, or change in your organization or team. Like, listen, nobody, I listened to this morning. Here, let me see if I can find it real quick. So the thing right here, this guy was talking with Gary Vee this morning, and this is very simple, very basic. It's not that profound, but as you're driving to work or sitting on your lunch break or doing your dishes or blow drying your hair, this is not that profound, but just think about this. The engine that drives all success in terms of professional and business and teams is your culture, right? And Gary Vee's listening to this going, shit, well, that's really simple. But you know what? Somebody else said this in a meeting, in an interview with Gary Vee, and Gary Vee's like, yeah, I know that's simple, but you're absolutely right. And we complicate this stuff. It is about your culture. It is. And so we're going to get into that a little bit, but here's the talk. Here are the points. So if you're doing any of that stuff, or if you're in a position to take notes, yeah, this is, so I offered to speak with no idea what to speak on. The first thing that popped into my head are some notes that I took last quarter that resonated with me, that I highlighted and underlined and starred and carried over to the next week and put on pages that would carry over to the next quarter. And it's simple, but culture plus the behaviors is going to give you or equal to your results. So it's very simple. Culture plus behaviors equals results. Culture plus behaviors equals results. I don't know what those results might be. Bad culture, cruddy behaviors, you know, all that. You're going to get the results. You're going to get what you deserve. You're always going to, and I had, that's a phrase that I wrote down this morning as well. You get what you deserve. I have a very, very good friend that drops his kid off at my house almost every morning at 6:30 in the morning. And it's not to take him to school. He's a sixth grader. No, he's not. He's an eighth grader. He's an eighth grader getting ready to go into high school, and he loves basketball. So his dad drops him off at my house so I can work with him, so I can train him, and we can shoot, and I can rebound, and I can take him through drills and blah, blah, blah. We've done this for almost 2 years now. His dad hit me up 2 years ago and said, George, feel free to say no to this, but would it be, you're working your kids out every morning at 6:30 to 7:30, and you've done that for a while, and your boys are getting to where they're, that they're decent players and they're developing some good skills and all that. Would you be interested in working with my son? I was like, and this is one of my good friends that has supported me and stood by me through some situations. I was like, man, whatever you need, like just drop him off, whatever you need. So for the past 2 years, we've worked, and he went from being somebody with no confidence, no ambition, no drive, no goals in terms of basketball and athletics to, over time, small little improvements, small little conversations, small little encouragement and coaching traits and bits and acknowledgement and all this sort of stuff to last week playing one of the best teams in one of the better teams in the area, St. Louis, whatever it is, not the best, but a good team. We're tied up and we run a play for this kid to get a three at essentially at the buzzer. So we run this play and it works and he's wide open. And he catches the ball. The rest of the team runs it perfectly. This player gets the ball, shoots a three, swishes it essentially at the buzzer, and we win when we were tied up. Now, there's a whole mess I could unpack there. But here's the deal. I told him because he came by. That was on a Saturday. He was at my house on Monday working out at 6:30. And I looked at him. I bumped knuckles with him. And I'm like, hey, man, you get what you deserve. You deserved to have the coach call the play. You deserved to have your teammates believe in you that you can make it and to execute the play perfectly to get you the shot. And you deserved to make it. So it's all this stuff. That is not basketball. That is professional. That is life. That is the time spent. I watched another video today of a gentleman that was doing cleans, power cleans. In like 2002, he got like fifth place in the Olympics. 2000, whatever these dates are going to be all jacked up. But 2002, 2006, he doesn't even qualify. He like falls and the bar isn't even there. Then the next Olympics, he gets it up and he gets like fourth place. Then the next Olympics, which is 4 years later, he gets the silver. Then the next year, I think he messes up again. And then the next Olympics, possibly, he gets the gold. And he's sitting there by this bar screaming and crying. And I'm sitting there going, man, that sucker, it's not like he committed a season. It's not like he worked his ass off for 6 months or whatever. That joker started this in like 2000. And he was like, I'm committed to this until I win. And winning to me is the gold medal. And it may take me to 2016. That sucker put together a plan to accomplish something, stay committed to that plan for 16 or 17 years, and actually longer than that, because he didn't just all of a sudden end up at the 2000 Olympics. He probably trained for 8-10 years before that to even get to that first Olympics, to even qualify. And he lost, and he lost, and he lost. And he committed and committed and put in the work and had the attitude and the commitment. That's once every 4 years. There was a part in that where I felt really bad for him because he went to power clean the bar and his hand slipped off it on the pull-up, the jerk, whatever it's called, when you pull the bar up. His hand fell off it twice, which I guess is a disqualification. What if you had to prepare for something for 4 years for a moment and your hand falls off the bar and the next opportunity is 4 years later? I'll tell you what I would do. I'd quit. Somebody else can do this. Like, I've got other things I can do. I'm not lifting that bar again at the level I've lifted the previous 4 years. I'm not doing it for another 4 years for nothing. Okay, so I got totally sidetracked on this, but man, you got to deserve it. That guy put the work in with the power cleans to win a gold medal 16 to 20 years after he said he was going to do it and after he set the goal and after he had a strategy and after he had the ambition to try to achieve that and thinking he may do it in 2000 or 2004, but he actually doesn't get it until 2016. So I would say the things that we're working on or I'm working on now that I want to have happen this quarter or by December 31st or by August 1st or whatever it might be of next year or 2020, am I willing to hold on to those goals and have that commitment and that ambition and that drive and that perseverance if that goal isn't achieved until 2024, 2026? I don't know how that would hit you, but man, when that stumbling block comes, I've talked about before about emotions and behaviors and how that all correlates, but you know, one of the behaviors is quitting. Right? And that whatever that emotion is tied to, whatever emotion you feel or I feel, that when shit doesn't go right, that I am extreme with it. When something doesn't go right, I immediately go to extreme. I go to 11 on why it's bad and why I need to quit and why I'm not good enough and why somebody else is better. Like, man, like I go from 0 to 60 fast when something like that happens. So Here's the quick rundown of the talk. It's going to be the title of the podcast. How's that for an introduction? That's 30 minutes. So here's the thing. I'm going to go over this in the next podcast or two. I will go deeper into it. I will record it tomorrow, but I want to give you this. Culture plus behaviors equals results. But here it is. CBR. So if you're taking notes, just write down CBR. Create the culture. Build the behaviors. CCBB. Got it? Pretty creative. Create the culture. Build the behaviors and recognize the results. Good and bad. When I gave the talk, I just focused on, and this just popped into my head, I spent the last part of this talk in terms of recognizing results, talking about all the positive things in the results that you need to recognize, which is a huge part of it. But you also need to recognize the results if they're bad, if they're not the outcome you want, because that's where learning is. So right in front of me, one of John Maxwell's books that I mentioned is, sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. You don't lose. It's not sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, although that's kind of the play on words that he's doing. But he crosses out in the book title the word lose and he puts in the word learn. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. Sometimes you win and sometimes you learn. So you have to make sure you have that perspective. So you got to create the culture. And I asked this group last week, like, hey, I'm walking these halls. There's 250 of you. I'm listening to conversations. That's something that I like to do. I'm very quiet at times in groups because I like to listen and learn and consume and digest what people are saying. And I love phrases and all that. We were at this conference and I was having lunch with four or five people and I didn't say too much, but this is what I said. I said this more than anything else to where they kind of started goofing on me and laughing. I said, that'd be a good podcast. That'd be a good podcast. Let me write that down. That would be a good podcast. Just different phrases. Like if you just listen to people, listen, and then consider and take that thought or phrase or word and put it into your mind and create your own narrative and story about what that means to you. I had lunch yesterday with somebody that said he was listening to Mike Krzyzewski, the head coach at Duke, and Mike Krzyzewski said, we're never going to lose to tired. We never lose to tired. We might lose to the opponent. We might not play our best game, but we will never lose to tired. And he had this great story about what that meant to him. He takes that content in. He consumes it. He spits it out with his own experiences and narrative. And I took the same phrase, man, can't lose to tired. And I'm sitting around. The first thing I think of is laying in my bed at 4:15 thinking I need to go running. You know who won this morning at 4:15? Tired won. I lost to tired. Tired beat me. You know what sounds good? Coffee. Coffee always wins. Coffee in my house is undefeated. Coffee is undefeated between the hours of 4:30 and 7:30. Coffee never loses, right? So the phrase should be don't lose to coffee. But I lose to tired a lot. When it's 8:30, 9, the kids are in bed, and I've got blizzards. This is no joke. I think I had three leftover blizzards in my freezer yesterday. And I just went there and said, ah, shit, man, I forgot I had that one. Sit down and eat, bunch of blizzards, watch SportsCenter, tired. See the laundry on the floor, see the shoes by the door, see the paint that hasn't moved, the posters that haven't been hung, the food magazines and college basketball magazines on the table, they lose to tired. It all loses to tired. Create the culture. So those are the phrases. But as I was bouncing around this conference, this is what I kept hearing. This, man, the culture's just really bad over there. I can't change that team. The culture's bad. They don't understand culture. They don't understand how to implement culture. They don't know how to do this with culture. Like everywhere when I was just standing in the hallway, like flipping through my phone, standing next to people that are unbelievably successful professionals in the software and agile space, that was the phrase I heard the most. They don't understand culture. We can't develop the culture. The culture's not supported. They don't believe in culture. They got a toxic culture. Shit, that's all I heard. So I'm standing in front of this group, and it was actually, I was very pleased with the crowd that we got, and that's what I led with. I was like, this is what I'm hearing more than anything. It's not like process and pipelines and early release software and all this sort of stuff that comes with being an agile coach and developing great software. It was all about culture, which is all about people. And it's all about leadership, and it's all about influence. And I'm sitting there going, man, like we just need a culture conference. A culture conference. That's what we need. And so I asked a group of 40, or I think there might have been, 40, 50 people, whatever it is. Doesn't matter if it was one person. What's culture mean to you? What does culture mean to you? What does that mean? So we go around the room and we've got, and I guess rightfully so, my definition of culture may be absolutely different than yours, right? And we've talked about this in other podcasts, but the thing I was thinking about as I took all this in, there was some great, there was one gentleman in the back on the right-hand side that just had this, had some great comments, and I didn't write it down, and I really appreciated his insight and him, recognizing and having a different perspective on it. I thought it was awesome. And I wish I had wrote it down, but I was speaking, didn't have an opportunity to. But we all had different opinions and perspectives on what culture is. And this is all I suggested to the group. And this is the thing, when I don't have all the answers. I just have a perspective that I like. And until somebody continues to feed me more information to change my perspective or enhance my perspective or to have me think a different way, that's cool. Like, I'm allowed to change and grow. But this is all I said. It's a basketball thing. Mike Krzyzewski, the head coach at Duke, who speaks at the business school, one of the best business schools in the nation, the Duke Business School, says culture is a set of standards that are upheld. It's that simple. They're a set of standards that are upheld. There was a lady in the back in the middle of my talk that essentially kind of said that. She talked about values and things, but they are standards that are upheld over time. Can the culture be, now, this is what I would struggle with. Now, I don't know if I would struggle with it. This is if I were in charge of a team, and I am in charge of teams, but if I'm in charge where I've got to dictate culture, it is not me sitting down saying, these are the 10 things we're going to do. It's not, in my opinion. Like everybody, this is just my perspective. My perspective is to sit down with everybody and say, who do we want to be? How do we want to work? How do we want to hold each other accountable? What do we want to do? What is our culture? What are our standards? How do we work? How do we work? There are standards. I'll tell you right now, the girl I'm dating, those shoes come off right when you enter the door. That is her standard. And the house is always clean. Her standard. I've got paint and posters and magazines and college basketball mat and books and shoes and laundry everywhere. That's like not my standard. Like your culture, your family's culture, your family's standards, how you work, how you behave, how you communicate, all of that has a standard to it. There is a energy, there's a vibe, there's a language to your standard of culture. So you got to create that culture. There have been companies that I've worked for that pull out and discuss their standards once a year, and then they put them away. Well. Hopefully we live up to these again. What can we get better at? Okay, we'll talk about this next year. We'll see how we do in 2020. Your standard and your culture and creating that is done every day, every conversation, every teachable moment. Every moment where you can enhance and teach and emphasize your standards, you do it. You always do it. Publicly, email, privately, whispers, lunch, Slack channels, whatever it is, whenever you see it. I'm 46. I said this in my talk. Best compliment I might have ever received. And this is not a pat on the back, but this might be the best compliment that I've ever received. I can't think of any, but I'm sure I've received compliments before. For whatever reason, I liked this one the most. My boss that I report to 2 weeks ago said, George, you are a walking pep rally. You are a walking pep rally. He's enhancing the culture just by saying that, by acknowledging that, by giving me feedback, by, giving me, some juice to continue to go. Like, I'm 46. We feel like we're past some of the pats on the back and the slaps on the butt and ruffling your head and hugging you and saying, man, you're awesome. And man, I love it that you hit a home run and I'm 46, but man, I still liked it. We all still like the acknowledgement. We like the acknowledgement. Now you need to acknowledge the standards that are upheld in one another and in your team, in your leadership, and on your team. You're a walking pep rally. Meaning, man, here, I did a podcast, maybe the last podcast, about how you leave your team. Man, I'll just tell you what, whenever I'm with people, whenever I'm with a team, whenever I'm with a group, I want them to leave inspired and uplifted and motivated and courageous and all that sort of stuff. Like, man, I want my kids, man, when they roll out of school, I walk my kids to school almost every day and I kiss them and I say, man, you are going to crush it today. I do it for a 10-year-old, man, and I hope that I also lead that with the 46, the 56-year-old. It doesn't matter. Man, whenever I leave you, and it's not on me, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I hope you as a leader that you sit there and say, have somebody say, you know what, whenever I leave that person, I'm inspired, I'm courageous, I'm, you know, I take action, I'm motivated, I'm inspired, I know why I'm doing this and what I'm doing it for, all this sort of stuff, man. And I hope that you leave your people that way. So listen, I know this is 40 minutes and I know we haven't gotten to everything. So this will be a two-parter. This is part one. I know I got sidetracked on some things because it's been a while. I love this. I need to get back into it. I need to make it a priority. I've got all this content. I'm going to be consuming more content because of the Maxwell coaching that I'm going to be doing. There's so much content there. I got to figure out what I'm able to talk about and what I'm not because of rights and things of that nature, because there's a ton of it. I appreciate the people that have reached out to me on LinkedIn. I'm connecting with a great group of people, but we're all kind of connected to some influencers and some people that we're all inspired by, that we all get juice from. Here's the one thing that I've learned in the past month or so, and I want to leave this with you because I believe it. I've said it before, but it is something that is on my heart and on my mind and something I without question believe. And it sounds goofy. You know, it's like one of these things like, hey, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to write my gratitude list. And I'm going to every morning write down the 10 things I'm super grateful for. And I'm going to meditate on those things. Like, I love that stuff. But I also know maybe it's in the clouds and fluffy and goofy and all that sort of stuff. And people may not like, but I believe it. I do actually believe that. But I also believe this. Man, I've got to do, this is me. And I hope, and it's you, I believe too. But it's definitely me. I got to figure out how to get into this state of change. Let me just make it very simple. I've got to get and create habits that change my state to where it needs to be for me to crush it. Right? My boss, who gave me that great compliment, told me, he was like, man, I know if I get you between 8 and 9:45, like, you're solving the world's problems. There's nobody that has that state. Then, like, that's when I've got to get you, if you know, and all that sort of stuff. Like, he knows, like, the coffee's running, my blood's going. I've listened to my podcast. I may have done a podcast. I've consumed content. I've listened to Gary Vee. I've listened to people that inspire and move me and all that. My state is perfect. I've got to figure out how to get in that state. And so do you. We've all been in that state where it's just flowing. We feel good. And maybe it happens every day. It does happen every day for me from like 8 to like 10. That is the prime time for me. That is my prime time where I am in the best state of the day. And I've got to figure out how to stay in that state. Well, here's the thing. I got to make sure I can get in that state. One, I got to get in that state early in the morning so I can crush it throughout the day. And I just believe that. And so I encourage you to think about that. Just how you can change your state. The state, your mindset, what you're thinking about, your limiting beliefs, like all that. And figure out how to consistently get in that state. And those are things I'm considering right now, because I'm telling you, I've been down a little bit the past month. And not only have I not done the podcast, not only have there been other priorities, but there have just been things that have just got me down. It happens. I didn't have the best quarter. I had a good quarter. I've had an amazing year, right? 2019 has been the best year of my life, without question. Doesn't mean I don't have bad days or a bad week. I have. But I've been down and my state has been down. That my engagement with clients is probably affected, relationship with my kids, relationship with my community and girlfriend and family, right? My employer, like whatever it is, like it affects everything. So I've got to figure out how to get my state up and keep it up and be consistent with it and be inspired by it. Listen, I hope you have a great day. Part two I will do tomorrow if I don't have anything that gets bumped around. I'm excited to be back. There have been people asking me like, hey, when are you going to put out a podcast? I haven't heard from you in a while. Are you doing okay? People have listened to the last podcast where I spoke about my dad a little bit who passed away. And people have reached out to me about that, which has been humbling and super grateful for that. I am going to post this on LinkedIn, and hopefully you get something out of this. CBR, create the culture, build behaviors, recognize the results. And we'll get to the rest of that tomorrow, and I'll try not to get sidetracked. But listen, I hope it's Thursday. Have a great rest of the week. And there's so much that we need to cover this last quarter. I encourage you. Don't wait for the start of the new year. Don't wait for January 1st, 2020. It's October 3rd. You're 3 days into the last quarter. Kick ass this quarter. Worry about 2020 in 3 months. Plan for it. Organize for it. Have strategies for it. But crush this quarter, this week, this day, and all that other stuff will take care of itself. Listen, I hope you have a great week. I appreciate being back. Again, my name is George Evian, out from the Cube. Please reach out to me on LinkedIn. It means a lot to me. And have a great rest of the week. Take care.